You want to open us up in prayer, buddy?
Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to come into your house, Lord, to just learn more about you. Lord, open our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we receive all that you have for us today. Lord, that we might be filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would go out into the community, tell the community more about you. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. What we never can prove, the delights of His love, until all on the altar we joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. We got a packed house today. Come on. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. I want to thank you all for joining us today, whether you are here in person, whether you are watching us online or listening to us on KCFJ AM 570. I want to welcome each and every one of you here today. Now, I normally don't have messages like this, but I have to start this message with an important disclaimer. You see, I've noticed that we have small children here, and there is a section of this message that I don't want small children to hear that lasts roughly about 4 minutes. I want everyone, no matter how old you are, to hear this message because it is vital that everybody hears it. And I will tell you when that part comes. So in that very short section, I will give viewer and listener discretion that will be advised. Today we are supposed to begin Revelation chapter 2, but with some specific series of events that have happened in the last 3 weeks, today's message has changed. Today I'm going to speak my mind about a few things that I have failed to talk about. I have failed in this because I am focused on presenting the gospel and the messages of God as Jesus did, within the confines of giving uplifting, encouraging, and peace-filled messages. The messages that I have given throughout my entire time in God's ministry, except for four messages, have been filled with encouragement. You see, I'm here to encourage the children of God and the people who are listening. Throughout my time in the ministry, I have consistently also refused to share only four messages with my wife before Sunday morning. Today is the fourth message. Today is the fourth message that God has brought to me in my calling, which is not about encouragement. It is about accountability. It is about calling out a specific sin and a specific group of people. Now, I'm going to say this. If you are a member of this specific group of people, I'm going to step on your toes today. Not out of hate, not out of any negative reason. I'm going to step on toes because I love you. And it is time for the people in our society who walk and live among us to be exposed for the sins that they commit. It is time for our society to wake up and to repent from their ways, if they are capable of repenting. Throughout my time in ministry, I have taught that repentance involves turning away from the sins that you are committing and to turn towards a spiritual life, to be living like Christ daily. We are to be turning away from the sins and turning to God. But there is a sad fact about life. That fact is shown in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 12 and 13. And it begins with, "He," meaning King Zedekiah, "did evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear an oath by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel." If your heart is no longer able to humble itself in front of Jesus, if you are not capable of repenting, it's because God has hardened your heart away from him. Look at what God told Moses in Exodus 7:3. "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt." Also look at when Paul is reminding the people around him that if you reject living according to the scripture, you are rejecting God. And Paul says this in Romans 9:18. "Therefore, he," meaning God, "has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens," meaning his heart. If you are living in a life of sin, it only takes one sin to keep you out of heaven. That's it. Then you are living away from God. You are going against his word, which he has provided to you to learn from, to improve yourself with, and to share with others. I know for a fact that there is at least one person who is living in sin and hates me to their core. What I am going to teach today is going to step on those toes. I am doing this out of love for each person who is hearing my voice. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't be giving you this message today. But this is a message that God has given to me to give to you. I also want you to know that God loves you, and I urge you to repent. You see, I am God's angelos, his messenger. In the last 3 weeks, a series of events has unfolded in our nation, and it is breaking my heart for many reasons. Today, I stand before you as a man whose heart is completely shattered by these events. These events have touched me in ways that I can't deal with. I have been in constant pain, continuous agony, and I've been shedding more tears than I have my entire life combined. I've had to completely give myself to Jesus to carry me through it, because I don't have the ability, I don't have the power or the strength to push through it. And today I will be addressing those events, and I will show how repentance is essential for ourselves, for our community, and for our nation. The title of today's message is A Call to Action. We are in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 3 to 12. This is the moment where, for just the next few minutes, viewer discretion and listener discretion is advised. By the end of this message, you will have an absolute answer to a question that I am going to ask you right now. What does Fletcher Merkel, Harper Moisky, Sophia Forkas, Matthew Silverstone, Irina Zarutska, and Charlie Kirk all have in common? Now, not all of those names are going to ring a bell, but those are the names that have been released to the public of victims of very violent crimes that have occurred in the last 3 weeks during four specific events. On August 22nd, Irina Zarutska, age 23, was going home after work on the subway when she was brutally and fatally stabbed to death for no apparent reason, except for one. The person who did this on camera was heard on the camera's microphone saying, "I got that white woman." She was a legal immigrant from Ukraine. She arrived here with her parents in 2022 after Russia attacked Ukraine. They came to the United States to be safe. And now Irina is dead. All because it appears that a man's mental health deficiency caused him to perpetrate a racial hate crime, a murder. And now Irina is dead because she was a white woman. On August 27th, a shooting took place at the Annunciation Catholic School in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Fletcher Merkel, age 8. Harper Moisky, age 10, perished in a shooting. Sophia Forkas, age 12, was critically wounded, a bullet to her head. She remains in the hospital today. She is slowly improving. But on top of those three children, there was 19 other adults and children who were also injured in that shooting. All because it appears that a man who is pretending to be a woman, a trans person, was told by everybody around him that he was a man, not a woman. His mental health deficiency led him to where his mother works and to cause violence against other people and against children. And now an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old are dead. A 12-year-old is still clinging for her life. And many others are now suffering from their injuries. Last Wednesday, September 10th, at 12:24 Mountain Time Zone in Denver, Colorado, a 16-year-old went into his school, Evergreen High School, and shot 3 students and then shot himself. The 3 students that he shot survived. The only victim whose name has been released to the public is Matthew Silverstone, age 18. At the time of writing this message, it has not been made public what happened to this 16-year-old boy to cause his mental health deficiency to become violent against fellow students. 1 minute before that shooting began at Utah Valley University, Charlie Kirk, age 31, was assassinated by an alleged 22-year-old. It appears that the killer's mental health deficiency disagreed with Charlie's beliefs. On the ammunition casings, he etched different things. He etched trans messages. I found out just this morning that his girlfriend is a trans boy. He also etched into the metal of one of the casings, "Hey fascist, catch." This event was the final straw that destroyed my heart. Charlie was a father of 2 young children who will never know who their father is on a personal level. They are too young to be able to remember him in their later years. I too am a father of a young child, except he does know me and would be forever shattered if anything should happen to me. I am also a stepfather to a young adult daughter. I am also the father of a 32-year-old son born 6 months before Charlie Kirk's birth. My son is also a social justice warrior of his own beliefs. And then on Thursday, Charlie's father, Robert, was at a vigil for his son, clutching his picture tight to his chest, crying and screaming out loud, "Give me my son back! He's only 31. I would do the same thing if it was any of my kids. These 4 events have touched me to no end. It became personal to me on so many different levels. And unfortunately, many people are feeling brokenhearted right now because of those events. And I don't ever want people to feel that feeling that I am feeling right now. But they have to. I am greatly mourning the loss of life and for those families. My soul has been depleted and is poor. The kids can come back in. I did not know any of these people on a personal level. I only knew of Charlie Kirk on a social media level. And yet God has revealed to me that all of these victims have something in common. Every one of them. They're all from different walks of life, but there is a common denominator. And it isn't the fact that they are victims of violence perpetrated by mental health deficient people. Before I get any hate for using the term mental health deficiency or deficient, I'm going to say this. There are 2 reasons why people are going to turn to commit this kind of violence. One of the reasons is because they are lacking something. They have a deficiency in their mental health. that is creating them to do this. This nation has a mental health crisis. And this crisis is a direct result of the other reason for these violent atrocities. That other reason is actually the answer to the question that I asked you. And I will reveal that answer at the end of this message. So stay tuned. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You may be seated. This is the beginning of probably one of the most important messages that Jesus gave in his 3-year ministry. This is an essential part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus describes how his faithful followers are going to live in the kingdom. And it's by embodying God's values through a new kind of righteousness that goes beyond outward actions. And it travels into inner godly motives. Humility, love, and selfless service in his ministry. When we live our lives according to the scriptures, Jesus teaches us that our rewards are for our obedience. To understand how to be obedient, we need to study the words that are used. And verse number 3, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does poor in spirit mean? To be poor in spirit means humility. We have to recognize our poverty level of our spirit. God doesn't care what your material wealth is. God doesn't care what your good deeds are, your power, your prestige, your monetary gain. He doesn't care about any of that. He doesn't care about how prosperous you are in material things here on earth. None of that is going to gain you anything, including eternity in the kingdom. Jesus is telling us in that first sentence that it's how we can recognize our need for God. We need to realize through humility that you have an utter need for God in your life. That you are actually able to enter into His grace, but not on your own. What does it matter about entering into His grace? Who cares about that, right? Wrong. Because it's grace that grants you salvation. It's grace that enables you to enter into the kingdom of God. It's grace that gives you the ability to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, how important is that? Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. And anyone not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. That's how important it is. Now, someone might be thinking, Well, I can't lose my salvation. My name's been written in that book since I was 5 or 12, 17, whatever age you were when you accepted Christ into your life. Let me respond to that by saying this. Be careful with those type of thoughts, because those are prideful thoughts. And James is very clear about pride. James 4:6. But God, that's the He, gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God, what? Resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I will also respond with this in Hebrews 10, verses 26 to 29. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled on the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Powerful, isn't it? So with that being said, I have a question. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Now, Jesus said this in verse 6 of our text. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. What do you think Jesus is talking about? Do you think he's talking about the little morning snack that you get on a Sunday morning church service? No. Are you hungry daily? Are you studying the Word of God? If you are, what are you studying? Are you sharing with others what you are studying? Are you living what you are learning? Or are you just reading a verse of the day or a single verse out of your Bible only? See, reading a verse of the day is fine. I wrote 2 books that has verses of days. That's fine. But they are for a real quick pick-me-up, something that's going to make you feel good for that moment. Those are not life-changing things to read. They are meant to make you feel good about yourself. Now, except for my books, you should really pick one up. If you want, laugh. It's okay to laugh. We're Baptists, but we're still alive. If you want actual life changes for yourself, then you have to study entire passages. You have to study the words that are creating those passages. That's what being hungry and thirsty for righteousness means. To have an insatiable desire to learn more and more through God's daily word. That is how the Holy Spirit talks to you. That's how it teaches you, molds you. If you are not truly being obedient in your studies, then how do you expect to learn what God has planned for your life? Do you live your life being merciful towards others? Because Jesus did talk about that. If you're not, good luck with receiving any mercy, because you're not going to get it from God. If you can't be merciful to others, you're not going to receive mercy in return. Jesus said it. Are you living what verse 8 of our text says? Are you pure in heart? First, let's look at what pure in heart means. Again, word study. To be pure in heart is to have an uncontrollable desire to accomplish His will for His glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Are you living according to the will and glory of God in your daily life? Only you can answer that. I have no idea. But I can guarantee you one thing. God knows. God knows. So be truthful with yourself, because God hates liars. Look at verse 9. Are you a peacemaker? Now, I'm not talking about keeping peace around you. I'm talking about making peace. Do you have love for everyone in your heart? Are you living with hatred for others? If hate is in your heart for anybody, doesn't matter who it is, then you will not be called a son or daughter of God. Jesus just told you that. 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? John is very straight with everyone. If you don't love all people, you can't love God. It's not possible. Look at verses 10 and 11. Now, Jesus finishes off this passage of blessings here. Now, I'm going to say this. I dare you to look into your heart and answer this next question. In fact, I Texas double dog dare you. Are you being persecuted and reviled for Christ's sake? Are you the one who is persecuting others? If you are persecuting others privately, publicly, it doesn't matter. You are committing a huge sin. If you are allowing others to live like that, to do that without accountability, and you are not bringing them back in line with Christ, you are just as guilty as they are. You also are sinning their sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You must always be in line with the Holy Spirit every single day of your life. Are you going to be perfect? No, of course not. But you need to have integrity for this lifestyle of being a Christian. You have to have integrity to align yourself with God through the Holy Spirit. But you do have to be able to recognize something. You have to be able to recognize when you are sinning, because you have to get to the point of repentance in order to fix it. You have to repent for your sins. There's no way around it. If you don't, I'm going to put it as blunt as God told me to put it. If you don't repent from your sins, can you really call yourself a Christian? Can you really call yourself a true child of God? That's only God knows that answer. If you claim that you have no sins to repent from, then you are a liar. No way around it. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we're making God a liar, and his word is not in us. Are you a liar, or are you a person of integrity? I'll give you an example. Charlie Kirk is being remembered today as a man of integrity. for his ability to reach young people in a political sense. But that's not what he wanted to be remembered by. On June 28th of this year, an interviewer asked him what he wanted to be remembered for. Charlie shocked the interviewer and said this, quote, "I want to be remembered for courage for my faith. That would be the most important thing. The most important thing is my faith." Is your faith the most important thing in your life? You see, Charlie, for years, would go to all these college and high school campuses and speak to thousands and thousands of young men and women, young boys and girls. But the media only showed his talks about socio-political issues. What they didn't show you is that most of the hours that he spent on these campuses were talking to the students about Jesus. You see, Charlie boldly spoke about his faith to every single person that he talked with. Some of the discussions may have started with politics or something else, but every single one of those conversations always ended with him talking about Jesus to them. It is coming out now by the thousands how he has touched people. By the thousands that he has changed their life because he did that. He had the integrity to uphold his faith boldly in public, sharing the gospel with every single person that he came across. Right now, the media is telling everybody that he was killed for political violence reasons. The truth is, he was assassinated for his faith. He is a martyr for Christ. This is what we are all called to do. To share the gospel boldly, publicly, with everyone that we come across. Are you doing that? Are you boldly speaking about Jesus? Do you have spiritual integrity to do what you're called to do? Now, I understand that there are going to be people that who don't. They're shy. I get it. Maybe they have other reasons. I get it. I'm not telling you you have to. I'm just sharing. I'm the messenger. Sharing with you what Scripture tells. Because truth be told, I don't always share the gospel every single minute that I'm out in the public either. But I will tell you this, that is something that I do need to work on through the Holy Spirit, and I will be. Jesus once said this, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." That means when you are burdened, when you are overworked, when you need rest, come to Him. He'll give you rest. That doesn't mean that you don't do anything for God or His ministry. Charlie Kirk, Clarence McCarty, Billy Graham, among many others, spent every day of their lives speaking the gospel. Clarence used to go to every brand new business that came into town and would pray with the owners. When you are a child of God, there is no such thing as retirement until you are called home to heaven. You are all here because God has a plan for you to fulfill. Are you doing it? Are you in His will, doing what He is commanding you to do? I don't know, because I don't know what your plan is. Jesus says at the end of this passage, though, that if you are doing these things, then you will be rewarded in heaven for your obedience. But here's the thing, we're not supposed to be doing that for the reward. We're supposed to be doing that because of the obedience. I'm going to ask you the same question that Charlie asked with an additional question. I want you to take a moment to reflect within yourself and come up with a truthful answer. That question is on the back of your notes. What do you want to be remembered as? And what are you currently doing to achieve it? Before I continue, I would like you to know that you need to write down the following verses in your notes because I printed the notes before I actually finished the message. In conclusion, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. At the beginning of this message, I mentioned that I would provide an answer to a question and that I would highlight a specific sin that is affecting a specific group of people. This is that moment. What does Fletcher Merkel, Harper Moisky, Sophia Forkas, Matthew Silverstone, Irina Zarutska, and Charlie Kirk all have in common? All of these people, these sons, daughters, brothers, a husband, and father, are all victims of evil people. Proverbs 6, 16 to 19 just told you the seven abominations of evil that God despises. He hates it. This nation is facing a huge problem that has been plaguing it for decades. And as I have shared with you many times before, there are only two types of people in this world. Those who are on Team Jesus and those who are on Team Satan. The problem with this world, the problem with this nation, this state, community, and even within the church is evil. The problem with this country is that we as Christians have allowed evil to take control. This nation does not have a political problem. Get that through your heads. This nation has an evil problem. There are too many people who are living evil lives. In this message, I detailed specific sins. Are you committing any of those sins? Are you living an evil life? If you are living away from God about anything, you are evil. If you have a hardened heart, you are evil. If you have desires of hurting people, or have threatened or attempted to cause physical harm to another person, you are evil. If you are celebrating abortions, if you are celebrating the death of a human being, you are evil. If you are living with hate for another person, you are evil. Those are God's words, not mine. And I shared with you the verse that proved it. If you are living an evil life away from God, away from His Word, then you better repent today. These young lives were taken. They weren't expecting to die. Nobody knows the moment of their death. You better repent today. If you're living an evil life in any way, shape, or form, then you are living on Team Satan. There's no way around it. You can call yourself a child of God all you want, but if you are living an evil life and you are not repenting from those sins, then you are demon-possessed and you are a liar. Prove me wrong. I'm going to take up Charlie Kirk's mantle. Prove me wrong. Today is the day to change all of that, right now. Today is the day to take a stand. Today is the day for a call to action. I was recently told here in town by a person who lives here that prayers don't work fast enough. That we as human beings have to act in a physical sense to get the job done. That is not true. We need to act in the ways that God wants us to act. With peace, with love, being in prayer, with compassion, with grace, with mercy for all human beings. We need to be praying for those who lost their lives, their families. We also have to pray for the shooters. We have to pray for the suspects who did it and their families. Do you know how fast God will act if everyone in this nation was praying? Very fast. It is time to change how you have been living. It is time to grow up in your faith and boldly profess Jesus to the world. To boldly call sin out for what it is, evil, and then make a change. I love this community. Everyone who knows me knows I love this community. But this community is the way it is because we as Christians have kept our mouths shut for way too long. Today is the day that we make mountains tremble and make a move. Today is the day that we take ownership of who God called us to be and then proclaim the name of Jesus Christ to everyone around us, to all of the nations. And why is that? Well, the very last thing that Jesus told us before he ascended into heaven is pretty straightforward. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told us to share the gospel with everybody we come across. I have failed you all in the entire time that I have been here. I have failed every one of you, and I am sorry. I have failed every one of you by allowing sins to continue to run rampant. No more. The gloves are now off. And I will call out the sins that I am seeing. That starts now. That starts today. We must be united as true children of God. The demons running around are no longer welcome in this house of God. Depart and do not return. And I will stand firm and I will die on this mountain because this mountain is for the glory of God. And this is precisely why God called me into this ministry, to boldly call out the sins being committed as being evil, calling it for exactly what it is. If you are here today and genuinely desire to change, to draw closer to God, to boldly stand for Him, come to His altar. Give yourself up for Him to allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through your life. Don't remain stagnant. Stop being lukewarm. Ignite that fire and become passionate for His ministry. This life is not yours to live. It is God's life to live through you. You are called to do something. You are not called to sit down and let others do the work that God is calling you to do instead. It is past time to actually get off our duffs and to get the job done in His name for His glory. Get up and let's unite in the body of Christ, moving forward together as a family for the blessings and the glory of God. Once and for all, let's actually do what we have been called to do without complaining, without stabbing people in the back. If you have a problem with something, grow up and go talk to them. Work it out. If you don't, then how are things going to change and get better? If you don't, then you are sinning and you are living on Team Satan in evil. Repent. And I will close with this. I pray for each and every one of you daily. I pray for each and every one of you, sometimes multiple times a day. And I pray all of this, what I'm about to say, for you. And you can find it in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace, always and every way. The Lord be with you all. From now on, every Sunday, when the last song is played, we will all rise together and hold hands to the person next to you. There is not going to be any aisles. We're going to move together. We're going to hold hands. We're going to unite as a family. Every person will be connected. There will not be any breaks in this chain of God's people. If you can't bring yourself to hold someone's hand, then get up here and repent. Pray for God to change you into a loving, caring, compassionate person. We were all created in God's image, and it is far past time that we all act like it and embody every single trait that is in God in our life. May the Lord Jesus the Messiah be with you all. I love you. And God loves you. Have a blessed week.
In His time.
Larry, can you close us out in prayer, please?
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, in the words of 2 Chronicles 7:14, Father, we boldly come before you and confess our sins. Lord, you say you will come down, you'll hear our sins, and you will redeem us and heal our land, Father. Right now, we come before you confessing, Lord, we need you more today than ever. We thank you for the gift of your salvation, the gift of your Son dying on the cross for us, Father. Lord, right now we confess the sins that we commit every day. We know we are not worthy of you, Father, but you give it with love and with grace. We just thank you and we praise you, Father, for those gifts. Lord, help us to continually look for you and look toward you, seeking you daily. Be with us, Father. Lead us, guide us, and be with us through the rest of this week, Father. And we just thank you, Lord, above all things, for the messages you give. Help us to apply it to our lives and continue your work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hey, ho. Pastor Brian J. Bates here. Thank you for listening to this message. If you enjoyed this message, then visit Alturas Baptist Church, located at 500 West 4th Street in Alturas, California, at 11 o'clock this morning for a revival in the spirit with extraordinary guest country music gospel singer Dwayne the Texas Teddy Bear Williams. A relationship with Jesus is as easy as ABC. Visit our website at alturasbaptistchurch.com. There you can find out who we are, access past sermons, learn about giving to the ministry, and discover even more. That's alturasbaptistchurch.com. Come back every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock for the following message right here on KCFJ 570 on the AM dial. If you want to check out video messages and devotionals on YouTube, then visit Living Like Christ Ministry 2023. I love you, and God loves you. Have a blessed week.